Hi, it's Brock Romanek, editor of the CorporateCounsel.net. I'm here today with Carolyn McNiven, who's a partner of DOA Piper out on the West Coast. She's a former federal prosecutor joining the firm in September after 13 years working for the Department of Justice. And I thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about corporate espionage, because that's obviously, if you read the newspapers, a topic that's more and more important, and those of us that deal with boards of directors, we know that it's getting a lot of high-level attention within companies, as it should, because your reputation's on the line, and for other reasons, as Carolyn will soon tell us. So the first question for you, Carolyn, is what are the most common types of corporate espionage?
Well, that's an easy question, Brock. It's insider threats and cyber intrusion. And the thing that my law enforcement colleagues have been telling me is the insider threat is growing by leaps and bounds, and it isn't always the type of thing that corporate counsels are used to seeing. In other words, there are actually plants from foreign governments that are being sent over to learn trade secrets and other types of secrets, and they're essentially like sleepers. They get hired as a normal employee, and they get access through either a key card or network access, and then they just wait and start funneling secrets to foreign governments. And given that, for example, the governments of mainland China and so on actually run so many of the enterprises and are very interested in promoting their own businesses, this is a huge problem for corporate America.
So I mentioned,
I was just going to mention about cyber intrusion. Obviously, it's been in the news recently with Sony and others, and in some cases, they have both been combined. There was a recent case here with the City of San Francisco Systems Administrator that was completely devastating, where there was an insider threat combined with cyber intrusion, and that was particularly problematic.
So I mentioned at the top about board involvement. What steps can boards take to ensure that management is doing the steps they need to do to protect the company's assets?
Well, I think board members should really ask a lot of questions of management. First of all, I think it's very important for the board to understand what management has identified as the key, essentially secret parts of the business, the assets that need protecting, and that they have taken steps to determine what the risks that they're facing to those assets are. And then beyond that, there's some sort of best practices that I'd like to point out that board members should be aware of and making sure that management is following through on. One of the things that's an extremely easy fix is to make sure that the treatment of employees are consistent, so people employed in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. are consistently treated. So to the extent that a country's law or U.S. laws are not violated, in other words, that there are background checks to all employees, not just those overseas. And so forth. The other thing is to have a point person dealing with these types of issues. It can be a security officer or someone of a different title, but that person should be answering directly to executive management, not through a huge bureaucracy of HR people or finance people. They should go directly to executive management. So if there's a problem, they can reach the people that need to make the decisions. There should also be corporate policies regarding the use and storage of electronic equipment, especially while traveling overseas. That is very problematic, and certainly in certain countries, such as mainland China, going overseas with a laptop computer with any types of secrets, whether they're negotiating positions or contractual arrangements and so forth, you have to understand that those can be compromised very easily when they are overseas. They're no longer within your custody and control. So make sure that management, as a board member, management is aware of those threats. The other thing is make sure that management know who the employees are and has a capability of monitoring unusual travel, any kind of recruitment, and so forth. And then also make sure that there is something in place for employees to report suspicious instances and be able to do so without reprisal. So if somebody in a foreign country or domestically approaches them and tries to purchase a company secret, that they know where it is and to whom they should report that. So those are some simple steps. Now, the other more complicated thing is, in this country, the U.S. government, namely federal prosecutors such as what I used to do, can bring criminal charges for theft of, under the Trade Secrets Act, for this type of corporate espionage. But it is important, as part of the elements of what they have to prove, that the company had steps in place to protect that private information. So board members should be asking management, what is it that they can point to that shows that they are trying to protect that information? And that's it in a nutshell.
What about, sometimes I read articles about companies that have had these breaches and then don't fess up to them right away, and I think they get into greater trouble, at least from their reputation, by not disclosing. What do you recommend? I know you're not a securities lawyer, so maybe you can't address the sort of the duty to disclose, but what, you know, should companies think about in terms of disclosing their problems when they have them?
Well, I can address that in several different respects. One is, there is obviously a whole body of law that would create legal obligations. And there can be legal obligations both from statute, state, and federal, as well as contractual obligations, for example, with your investors and your lenders. The nature of the obligation of what you have to report and what you should report will depend on what has been compromised. So, for example, if you have customer privacy information that has been hacked into and stolen, right away you should be realizing that you'll need to take a look at the various state laws for where those customers are and determine if there is a reporting obligation, first of all, to the customer, and second of all, to any kind of law enforcement authorities. There's a handful of states that require reporting to the AGs. Some require reporting to the consumer credit bureaus, and so forth. So it depends. If there's customer privacy information, there's a whole host of those types of issues. Separate from that are just the, essentially what I'd call the PR, or the customer service type things. And depending on what it is that's breached, it might be by far the most prudent thing to notify the customer that there's been a breach so that they can minimize the harm to themselves. Separate and apart from that, there's the SEC reporting obligations that you mentioned a moment ago. Obviously, if whatever it is that has been stolen is material and the company is a public reporting company, then that raises a host of issues and that should be brought up through the general counsel's office as to whether or not there's a reporting obligation. And in addition, I think in some circumstances, even if it's not a public company, a smaller company, a startup, for example, they may have obligations to their investors or their lenders if what it is that has been stolen or they believe compromised is crucial to their business model. So I think those are all things to think about in terms of disclosure.
And in wrapping up, I think in terms of these issues, it's for a lot of companies, it's not a matter of if we're going to have some espionage. It's a matter of when and what the magnitude's going to be. It just seems like no companies. In fact, my former employer, Lockheed Martin, which probably has some unbelievable anti-hacking protection, it just was in the paper, I believe, this last week. So it really is a common issue these days.
It's a very common issue, unfortunately, and I think that a lot of pre-planning can make things much smoother.
Well, thanks for your time, Carolyn.
Thank you.